is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every struggle. Jesus, your name.
Bring the words and let everybody sing this powerful song.
Jesus, your name
is power.
Is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name.
Do you know what a stronghold is? I think you do. Anything that holds you strongly is a stronghold. Do you understand? And many of us are held strongly by things that shouldn't be holding us strongly. Do you see what I'm saying? The only thing that should be holding you strongly is your love and affection for God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of us are deep into things that we know we shouldn't be deep into. We want to reverse, but our reverse gear is not engaging. You see what I'm saying? You are shifting in reverse, but you can't. You need something that breaks strongholds. You need something that breaks strongholds. And I know something that breaks strongholds. And that is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Break strongholds of addiction, addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs, addiction to sex, addiction to pornography, addiction to television. Do you see? Food, internet. I mean, this name can handle it.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Tell somebody he can handle it.
He can handle it.
Tell somebody he can handle it. Hallelujah. So sing it. Come on.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Come on, sing. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is light.
Come on, sing it again. Jesus, your name.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is
light. It will break. Come on.
Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is love.
His name is healing, you know.
Jesus, your name is healing.
His name brings sight.
Jesus, your name.
Are you changing it?
Jesus, your name will free every captive.
Oh,
Jesus, your name is God.
Come on, sing it again. Jesus, your name.
Jesus, your name is healing.
Oh,
Jesus, your name brings sight. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
His name will free every captive. Amen. Whatever is holding you captive, his name is going to free you from that thing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for the name that is above every name, the name that brings healing, the name that brings and gives sight, the name that is above every other name. We are so blessed this morning to be able to call upon that name. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong and a mighty tower, and the righteous run into it and they are safe. I pray, Lord, that we will experience safety as we run into your name this morning. Thank you, Father, for your presence and your blessing. Let the preaching and teaching of your word bring illumination. Let it give sight. Let it bring understanding. Let it build the church. Let it build the house of God. Let it feed the flock. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. We thank God for this morning. Amen. And I want to continue sharing with you. Hallelujah. So far, we've been talking. In fact, since we moved here, you see, since we moved to this new fantastic temple or tabernacle. You prefer tabernacle. Okay. Since we relocated to this wonderful, amazing tabernacle, you know, with a stage piano and with a special place for our drummer. And by the way, what's the name of the family? Arinzi family. Yeah. Can that be the permanent name of that family? So that every Sunday morning we know that we have a treat from the Arinzis. Isn't it? It's very, very powerful. I enjoyed that. And I was told about last week's one. In fact, I hear it was too powerful. So I want to see it at some point. Amen. But the reason we are seeing all these things is that we are very serious and focused on what we are doing. Amen. Which is that we are trying to build the church of God. Amen. And yet not us, it is God who is building his church. Because it is God who builds churches. Can I have an amen? Amen. And Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen? Amen. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Amen. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, right there, it tells you that churches are built. A church is not something you just have. Do you understand? And a church is something you build. Beyond the building, you must actually build up the congregation. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to build, and building is adding one block and adding another one and adding another one. And trying not to lose any. Because anybody who is building by putting one block and removing one from under is not going to build a house. Is it true? It is very, very true. You know, and last week I was in a certain place where I saw a church building. In fact, I saw two of them. Church buildings that have been sold in, and people have turned them. One of them, is, I think, has been turned into a club and the other one into a restaurant. Yeah, I have a photo of the restaurant one. I'll show it to you. Yeah. And the restaurant people, they have not even changed the name of the church. It's called St. Andrew's and it's still on the building. Yeah. And then they have put a sign outside there, today's special, pork knuckles. Yeah. It means that the spiritual food that used to be served here has now been replaced by pork knuckles in this place. Hallelujah. But this sort of thing happens when the actual work of building the church stops at a point. Do you see what I'm saying? That we just accept what we have and then we stop the construction, the constructive work of building the thing. Hallelujah. Amen. And actively participating and adding to what we are doing eventually leads to something like that. And it was very sad for me, because I was just thinking, this church building, I can imagine how some pastor here poured out his heart, how he must have raised funds. I mean, a building that's, I'm sure, over 100 years old. So it must have been a time when, you know, when churches are built, say, building fund, fundraising, different things they're doing to build that, only for somebody to turn into a pork knuckle restaurant. It's an amazing thing. Hallelujah. But we are building the church. And I'm encouraging all of you, number one, to have that mind. Do you see? And number two, to join in the building. How's that? Ask your neighbor, how's that with you? I mean, what he just said. Do you understand what he just said? What did they say? They understand. Yeah. I'm encouraging you. I am inviting you to come and help. First of all, you must have that mind that we are in a church that is under construction. We are building the church. Do you see? This church is being built. And then number two, that you are a part of the construction. Can I have an amen? Okay. And when we all have that mind, the building goes up faster. Hallelujah. And we're going to continue to build. This whole place is going to be full of people. Do you know that? Ask your neighbor, do you know that this whole place is going to be full of people? What did they say? Powerful. That's how it's going to be. Amen. And one of the great reasons why you must join this thing is because if the Lord says that's what he's doing, then when you make it your vision, it means you have joined the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it means you have joined, you have become close to God, because you become close to people you work with. Is it not true? When you work with somebody every day for 8 hours, somehow you get to know the person and you get to be close to them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And that is the reason why I'm inviting all of you to have the mind. Chichi, all of us must have the mind of a builder. You know, this morning I was in the car park and I saw people arriving. I mean, they're arriving like somebody actually turned with a little bit of a screech. You see, I mean, and arriving with zeal and passion. You see what I'm saying? And it was not 10 o'clock yet. Do you see? Yeah. Then I saw the later ones that came, who also came with people. Do you see what I'm saying? And you see that if the people have a mind to work, let me show you that verse before I even get into my sermon. This is not my message. This is the introduction to my message. Wow. Isn't it? I think everybody is allowed at least an introduction before they say what they have to say. What do you think? Okay. But you will soon see that the introduction is also part of the thing. Amen. Hallelujah. So I am reading from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. I'm reading from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, so we built the wall. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. Okay, now these people were building a wall. We are building what?
A church.
A church. Amen. Right. Now let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3, go. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people... Wow. Read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. So... Can you... Wait. Did you all go to kindergarten? Okay. Let's read like kindergartners read. Okay. Loudly. Do you see? 1, 2, 3, go. So we built. And in Discord. You see Discord. Different pitches and so on. All right. 1, 2, 3, go. So we built. And. And then the last kid who says work again. Hallelujah. The people had what? The people had what? The people had what? A mind to work. Amen. Not that, not, it's not saying for we had a lot of money. No, that's not what it's saying. Do you see? It didn't say that we had a lot of money. Didn't say because we were very lucky. He said that the people, they had a mind to work. And that caused the wall to be built. Hallelujah. And so if our church members and our church participants and our church even visitors, because everybody is part of the project. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, everybody, even people who are just passing through. Do you see? Because when you go to a construction site, some of the people who they just pass through, fix a window and just go. But they are also adding to the work. Do you see what I'm saying? They are not the owners of the building. They will not be living there. There's somebody else who will be living there. Do you see? But there are people who just pass through and they just fix a window. They just fix the tap. They just even deliver. Some people just come and deliver the next set of wood or sheet rock or whatever it is. They just deliver it and leave. But their contribution helps to build the work. Do you see what I'm saying? So everybody, including people who are visiting, even if you are visiting our church, please help us to build it before you leave. Tell your neighbor, are you the one he's talking to? Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because we are serious here. We are building a church. We have joined with God's vision. And God's vision is to build his church. He said, I will build my church. God's church is so important to him. Because it's a place where he works on people. It is like his office. It is the place where God touches lives. It is the place where God opens people's understanding. It is a place where God influences thinking. It is a place where God calls people. It is a place where God causes people to find, you know, a lifetime calling. It is a place where God's people gather. It is the place where God protects his people by bringing them together. It is a very important place to God. Hallelujah. And that is why one of the easy ways of becoming very, very important to God is to join him in his project. What he's doing, you do the same. Hallelujah. And you become very important to him. Hallelujah. One of the ways you can help to build a church is even just to attend it. Just to come. Just be there. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, just be there. You may not have this or cannot contribute that or what, but your presence, just that you came, it helps to build the church. And it makes a very strong something stand, which the Bible says the birds of the air, they come and take shelter in it. Hallelujah. So God is building his church, and that is what we all are about in this place. And we are continuing along that line. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, today I want to talk to you or share with you 5 simple things that hinder this process of church building. Amen. And I'm sharing, you know, we have a very fantastic book in our church called Loyalty and Disloyalty, you know. And I'm going to share with you from one of the chapters in the book, which we call, or the chapter is Stages of Disloyalty, you know. So the 5 things I'm talking about are often described as stages of disloyalty, you know. But today I want you to look at them as Five simple things, you get it, which when they occur in any order, do you understand, causes the work to cease. Do you understand? Now, before we go into those five things, just look with me, since we are in Nehemiah. Look with me in Nehemiah, you know, and let me read one more verse with you over there, and then we will continue. Is anybody learning anything so far this morning? Hallelujah. Now, Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, and our adversary said, this is chapter 4 and verse 11. Just give me verse 11. It says, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Did you see that? They will not know what hits them. We will just maneuver and come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Now, there are these things I'm talking about are things that creep into churches. Do you understand? There are things that enter a church and then they cause the work to cease. Now, as the verse is saying, first of all, the thing, origin of the thing is not from God. It's coming from our adversaries. That means the enemies of what God is doing. Hallelujah. And who is the enemy of what God is doing? The devil is the long-standing enemy of any work that God is doing. Whether he's doing it in a life or doing it in a church, whatever God is doing, the enemy is opposed to it. Hallelujah. And so our adversary is the one we're fighting against. Do you see? And his vision, this is what his plan is. He's saying that, look, they will not know, neither will they see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. They will not know it. They will not know it. You see, there are many churches, including the church that was here before. You know, I told you there used to be a church in this place. I got this story. The caretaker of this place is the one who told me. Because I asked him, how come such a beautiful hall is empty and nobody is here? Then he said, oh, that was a church here. You know, and they had a problem. And various things happened. And before they knew it, they couldn't afford this place anymore because the church dwindled. It became very small. They couldn't afford it. And so they had to leave. Exactly according to this plan. Do you understand? They will not know it. Look, everybody just wake up. Are you awake?
Yes.
Wave your hand if you're awake. Now, if you're awake and can see me, just wave your hand. Can you see me?
Yeah.
Right. You see, I'm sharing with you something so important. Do you understand? Because if you don't get this, there's even no point in coming to church. What is the use of coming to do so much work? KK, coming to choir practice on Friday night about 10 p.m. I saw her standing here singing. What is the use of doing all of this for 3, 4, 5 years? And then at a point, we cause the work to cease. Do you see? If all of this is leading to cause the work to cease, if that's what this boat is heading towards, we might as well abort the journey now. What do you think? Jonathan, I haven't seen you in a long time. But I think you still understand me, isn't it? Yeah, even though it's been a long time, you still understand me when I preach. So, he says, our adversaries, it is our adversaries who have a plan to cause the work to cease. Do you understand? And it must concern you. Pastor Monero, do you guys have another version? If you have another version, just any other version, throw the same verse out there and let's try to understand this verse properly this morning. Okay? It says, our adversary said they shall not know. I tell you, they shall not know. And many times when churches are attacked, they don't even know that they are being attacked. Do you understand? They think there's a problem. They think it's that or this or that. They don't know that they are actually under attack. It says, our enemies said, they will not know or see until we come among them. Do you see? They will not know or see until we work our way and come among them and put a stop, kill them and put a stop to the work. Put a stop to the work. Why should God build an office where he's going to affect lives? Why should God build a place where people are going to go to and encounter his power and stop drinking and stop the alcohol abuse, stop drug abuse, stop sleeping around, stop doing all kinds of things? Why should God build such a place? Because this is exactly what the enemy is about. Do you understand? This is the establishment of a church is a serious, you know, the devil does not like it. Because the only purpose of a church is to stop what he's doing. The Bible says, for this reason was the Son of God made manifest. That means every time you show the Son of God, it is only for one reason, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you see what I'm saying? He might destroy the works of the devil. That is the only reason why the Son of God is made manifest. Edwina, do you understand manifest? You see, manifest. Just, you know, you see that thing. You make that thing come out. And he said, it is only for one reason. When the thing is manifest, when you can see the thing, there's only one reason for it. That he might destroy the works of the devil. So when you have a place like a church, where his name is lifted up, and his word is preached, and his presence is manifest, you see, his presence is put forth and is brought out and it's you know, do you understand the thing? Yeah. When you have a place where his presence is manifest, there's only one reason, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you understand? Now, if you were the devil and you were working, you know that you would not like anyone to destroy what you are doing. Is it not true? Yeah. So, then you also come up with a new vision. Your new vision is to cause their work to stop. Isn't it? And the way to do it is to come among them quietly, harmlessly, and then cause the work to stop. Apply the brakes in a subtle way to the work. Do you see? Kill them. Kill their morale. Kill their zeal. Kill their choir. Kill. You see, so some of us, we don't know that by our behavior, we're actually facilitating the enemy's agenda. Do you get it? Because we sometimes, instead of going, you won't go. Do you see? Instead of just going, you won't go. Instead of going to the prayer meeting, you won't go. Joining the choir, going there, you won't do it. So the thing is that he's trying to apply a subtle stop to the work. And unfortunately, you have become a facilitator of that project. That's how come he says, we will come among them. That means we'll join them. It means we'll become members. Yeah, what does it mean? Until we do what? Until we do what? We come among them. Until we join them, until we become part of them, until we start to fellowship with them, until we become members with them. And then we will cause the work to cease. Wow. No more salvation. No more healing. Do you understand? No more miracles. No more counseling. Do you see? No more prayer for people. No more preaching. No more encouragement. One of the powerful things you get in a church is encouragement. You know, something that puts you back on your feet and causes you to be ready to go out there and fight again. Do you understand? Something that causes you to see some hope and to see some light at the end of a long tunnel. Something that makes you feel that your case is not closed and that it can be reopened. Which is actually a destruction of the work of the devil. When you give people hope, you are destroying the work of the devil. Because one of the things the devil does is to cause people to be discouraged. Because when people are discouraged, then you can attack them. Do you see? When one of the things the military does is to try to keep the morale of the troops very high. See, the troops need their morale needs to be kept very high. That is why when people were fighting in Iraq and so on, and then there was a debate going on around here about whether or not we should have been in Iraq at all, you know, some people were saying on the TV that this discussion is not a healthy discussion to have at this time when the troops are actually out there fighting. You see, when the troops are fighting and we are now watching on television, we are now discussing whether they should have been there in the first place. It's too late. They are already there. You get it? So their attitude was more like, stop the discussion, keep us strong so we can fight. Because when the army loses their morale, then that is the first step towards defeat for them. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many understand what I'm sharing with you? Are you with me this morning? Yeah. If you don't understand, just raise your hand. I'll just go over. I'm not in any hurry at all. I don't have a syllabus I'm following, and I have to finish. We are coming to the end of the month. This is the third Sunday in September, right? So we have to finish by this time before we do a quiz. There's no quiz in this church concerning my preaching. Do you understand? I only have one mission: to help you to understand something so critical. Hallelujah. Which a lot of people who join churches do not understand. They do not understand that we are up against an adversary who has just one vision. Do you see? Who is trying to come and be a member, who is trying to join, who is trying to work through members and to work through people to cause the work to cease. To cause the work to stop. Hallelujah. Amen. To cause the work to stop. But we will win that fight. Say amen. Amen. We'll win that fight. Hallelujah. So I'm showing you very quickly five things, if I have the time, I don't think I will, but five things that facilitate the work of the enemy and helps the work to cease. Five things. Hallelujah. Five things. Number one is an independent spirit. Number one is an independent spirit. Independent spirit. Now, what do I mean by someone who has an independent spirit? When someone has an independent spirit, they basically belong to the church on their own terms. They do what they like, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, and as often as they want to do it. Do you see? In other words, they are not fully and properly submitted to the leadership of the church to really flow fully and properly with the work that is going on. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, it's a very common thing. And many times, people are like that and don't even realize that that's what they are doing. Do you see? They are like that and don't even realize that that's what they are doing. When we say that we are having fasting this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you say, no, I fasted last week. Do you see? I fasted last week. So this week's fast is for you guys. I mean, we have done ours already. Do you understand? Yeah. When they are in the choir and they say that today the choir is wearing red. What color is this? Red or purple or pink? Which one is it? Orange. Pink. This is pink. Okay. You know, it gets pinker as you go. As you go to the right, it's getting pinker and pinker until it becomes red. That's when pink grows up, this is what it becomes. Mature pink. Yeah, and when pink is a kid, it looks like this. Hallelujah. But the choir decides that we are wearing pink, any shade, do you see, any shade of pink, mature, immature, premature, midlife crisis pink, any type of pink, Do you understand? Which to me is a wide enough latitude for you to fit yourself in somehow. But when somebody has an independent spirit, that person's attitude is, huh, I don't look good in pink. Or today, I don't feel like pink. You know, or today is not a pink day for me. Do you see? Or I wore my pink blouse to wherever last week. I cannot repeat it today. They should have given us 1 month's notice. Then we'll know how to arrange our clothes. But last week I put on my pink, and now this week also they want me to wear my pink. So you see that they will show up not in pink, neither immature nor mature. They just show up in a totally different color and still want to be part of the choir. How many can understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. You see, so you see that the person is in the church, but he or she is not allowing themselves to be properly brought under the leadership, and we are not flowing properly in the church. If we say that we are building, and we are building a church, then we need to be properly under the control of the foreman. What do you think? At the construction site, everybody needs to be under the control of the foreman. So when the foreman says, listen, put 6 nails here, you don't get up and say, why 6? 3 will do. Kong, 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 3. And then you come and say, I've done the work. Do you understand? I've done the work. And this one thing I'm talking about, it hurts many, many, many churches. And many churches, they do not know until the people come among them and start to kill what is going on and cause the work to cease. Who understands what I'm saying? Yeah. It's so true. It happens in different churches. You see, let me show you an example of somebody who had an independent spirit in the Bible. His name is Joab. You see, very nice name, but very bad attitude. You see, you must try to let your attitude at least match your name, if it's a good one. Hallelujah. But look at this one, 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. You see, David, King David, inherited the kingdom of Israel from a man called Saul. And when David inherited the kingdom, Saul had an army commander called Abner. Do you see? And David decided that, I'm not going to kill this Abner. I'm not going to kill him. Do you see? Enough of the bloodshed. It's okay. We were looking for power. Now we're in power. We don't have to kill everybody. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, there are some people, when they are coming into power, they kill everybody. And when they come into power, they realize they don't have anybody to rule. Do you see? But this man said, no, let's not kill anybody. It's okay. Let's leave this guy. So they sent for this Abner. David sent for Abner. And then made peace with him. And that's where I'm reading in verse 20. It says, so Abner came to David. Okay. Verse 20. Abner came to David. And 20 men with him, you know, they came to David at Hebron. And David made a feast for Abner. Do you see? And the men who were with him. Obviously, he had a plan not to kill him. And then what happened? What, verse 21. Verse 21. Okay, and Abner said to David, let me arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, that you may be king over all that your soul desires. So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Do you get it? Because David cleverly realized that Abner was of strategic interest to what he was doing. Do you see what I'm saying? So he decided that there's no need to kill this man. He can rather help us. So Abner came, they made a party for him and his people, and David said, let's not kill him. Right. Then When you read on verse 26, or let's just read on. Okay, just read on. Next verse 23. Verse 23. When Joab and all the army that was with him, arrived, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace. You see, so when this party was going on, Joab was not there. And then he shows up later, and somebody tells him, this is what happened at the meeting today, that Abner came around, you know, and the king has sent him away in peace. Do you see? So Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why then have you sent him away and he's already gone? You know Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you and to learn of your going out and coming in and to find out all that you are doing. Do you see? So he has his own mind, you know. Sheila, can you just have somebody sort the kids out for me, please? Okay, are you with me? Please. I told you, I'm sharing with you something so important. I don't want anything to spoil it or distract it at all. Give the kids anything they have to get just to be quiet. Give them microphone, anything. Okay, now listen. So when Joab has a different way of analyzing things and would not accept the leader's judgment. Do you understand? Now the truth is that when you are a leader, you will have a way of doing something. Do you see what I'm saying? If we were to put you in charge of the drama group, maybe you would change the name from Arinze to Arroya. Do you understand? You may not come... Harry, what's the name? Arinze. Arinze. You may change the name from Arinze to Arroya. Do you see what I'm saying? And then Harry would not be the head of the family. You see, you would fire him and you would choose Jonathan. do you get it? That's how you do it. But you are the leader and you must be allowed to take the decision. Do you see what I'm saying? And the only thing you deserve is the support of the people to make even a not so good decision still stand and work and make and do well. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. The support that you give to your leader is like, you just imagine your leader like as someone who is leaning on crutches. Do you understand? You need the crutches to be able to walk, even though you are the crutches don't walk themselves. They don't have any agenda. They don't have anywhere they're going. Do you see what I'm saying? So you realize that even the crutches find their purpose in helping and supporting the one who wants to go somewhere. Do you see what I'm saying? There are many of you have gifts and talents and so on. You're not doing anything with it. Do you understand? You're not doing... You see, I saw this fine brother playing the bass this morning. If you were at home this morning by yourself, you would not be playing the bass. Is it not true? You need someone who says he's having church service and he's having it this morning at such and such a place. Then that decision engages your gift and gives you something to do. Do you see what I'm saying? All these people who are singing in the choir, I don't think it's their talent to wear pink, you know, on Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning they like to wear. That's not what it is. But it is that somebody says, we are doing a church or we are doing this here. Then they decide to join and support it. And that engages their gift. Something that they would not be using otherwise. In fact, there are some people, it is in the church that they discover what they can do. Yeah. They never knew that they could even sing until someone forced them to sing. And they were surprised people liked it. Do you get it? So every leader should be allowed to exercise his judgment. And the members, whether the judgment would be like you would have done it or you wouldn't have done it that way, your job is to follow it. So when this guy came and David had made a decision that I will not kill this man, all he was supposed to have done is just, well, I would have done it another way. But since this is what you are doing, I'm with you. We're going to make this work. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? But look at what he did. So the next verse, when Joab came out from David, he sent messengers after Abner. And they brought him back from the well of Siren. But David did not know it. Do you see? The word is independence. 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 It means that the person is not subject to the leadership that he is under. Do you see? So he has gone to call somebody who has been sent away in peace and has invited the person secretly. David did not know it. Verse 27. So when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the middle of the gate to speak with him privately. And there he struck him in the belly so that he died on account of the blood of Asahel his brother. So you see, now look at this. The reason why Joab is operating in independence is not even for the official reason that he gave. Do you remember that Joab said that this guy deserves to die because he came to spy on the king? Yeah. Do you remember that? But now the Bible is revealing that he had his own personal thing against the guy. So you see, sometimes when somebody starts to make a suggestion, you know, I think that this choir practice on Friday evenings, I think people are usually tired on Friday evenings. You see, so why don't we just move it to Saturday afternoon? Because I think most people, I can sometimes read from their faces that they are very tired. Do you get it? Huh? Not knowing that the person actually has their own agenda. It sounds like they are speaking for people, or they are seeking the good of the work or the church, but that's not it. They are actually looking to fulfill their own private thing. The person wants to go clubbing on Friday evening. Heard that the neighborhood karaoke place has got a new karaoke and wants to try her voice in that place. That is the reason why they are saying that the choir practice, a lot of people say that they will not come today. The people generally feel tired. Hallelujah. How many understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, sometimes people, they'll be making, let's do a fundraising and buy a new organ. Then some people will start to say, oh, but as for the church, they don't need a new organ. It's because the problem is they feel that it means they have to contribute. do you understand? Yeah. You see, once I was speaking to somebody a pastor. The pastor called me and the pastor said, talk to my wife. Talk to my wife. Because she is opposing the things that I'm doing in the church. I'm saying that we should go and... She said, I'm saying that we should have this program or that program. He said, we're going to do something, you know. And she's against it. She doesn't want to do... She says the church members are tired. She says this and so many things. I tell you, it's very difficult when you're trying to run and the person who's supposed to be pushing you is throwing oil under your feet. So as you're running, you just slipping. Do you see? And that's what, as the pastor could not handle the situation, he called me. Then I brought the wife on the phone. I said, why are you doing that? Your husband says he wants to try this. Why don't you at least try? Try and fail. There's nobody who succeeded at anything without trying first. Do you understand? So as for failing, it's a companion of success. In fact, it is because of so much failure that you can recognize success. If you don't have failure, you cannot define success. Do you see what I'm saying? It's because it doesn't work so many times that when it works, we can see. And so this is different from what we have experienced up to now. Do you see? But then the wife, she now told me something. She said, Pastor, the truth is that, and God bless her because she was honest. She said, the truth is that all the people in the church, they don't have jobs. I'm the only one who has a job and who works. So as my husband is saying that we are going to do this project and this project, the reality is that I am the one going to pay for it. Can you see where she's coming from? Yeah. So she said that it is because I can see the bill coming that I am saying that, you know, Not this time. Yeah, the projects are a lot. We are not going to do this project at this time. Do you see? And at least she was honest about it. But many people are not honest. They want to sleep tonight. And they say that a lot of people around are tired. You see, they said a lot of people are not very interested in this thing that we are doing. A lot of people will not come. Hey, that place is very far. Do you see? If we are a church, we're looking for a place to meet. We find a place in such and such a place. Then you ask somebody, what do you think about such a... Hey, the place is far. Do you think the members will come? Do you see? But the reality is that they are the ones seeing that... Now that they've moved the church to this place, I now have to drive 25 minutes to get there. Hey, gas. Do you see? So they offload the thing in disguise on other people. And that's what this guy was doing. He had a personal issue with this Abner. Do you see? And then Abner had come, and the king, he thought that this was an opportunity to kill him for political reasons. But the truth is that he has a personal thing that will be satisfied. See, the Bible says God does not see as man sees. Then he explains what he means by that. That man looks on the outward appearance. Every human being just operates by what they see. But the Bible says God sees the heart. That means when you are doing things, suggesting things, making suggestions, and doing, taking decisions, you have to be careful. Because God is going to judge the issue over what other human beings cannot see. It may look okay and look right to people, but God knows the true nature of what is coming out. And he will handle it according to its true nature. Are you following what I'm saying? So, he read on, next one, verse 28. I told you I will not be able to tell you all the five, so I'll tell you one. That's just this one. Next time, I'm going to tell you number two and number three and number four. Do you want to know the things?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are innocent before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner. He said, I didn't do this. This is not my work. God knows I never wanted to do this. I didn't do this. Do you see? It is Joab who has orchestrated this, and he has actually made this happen. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? This same Joab, there's another place where, another time, David's son called Absalom was misbehaving. And then they went out to go and arrest Absalom. That's in chapter 18, 2 Samuel chapter 18. We'll just read that part and then we'll close the service and continue next time. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed this morning?
Yes.
How many are learning something? How many have been to a church before and can recognize some of what I'm talking about? Just you've seen it not in some church before somewhere, or you've heard these type of things happen, or you think it can happen in a church. Raise up your hand. Let me see. Okay. All right. Now go to 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 5. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. It says, and the king, this is King David, he charged Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Look at the next line. And all the people heard when the king charged all the commanders concerning Absalom. See, that verse, this latter part of the verse, is not there for nothing. One of the things I have found as I've read the Bible is that the Bible contains no unnecessary detail. Everything you see in the Bible is there for a reason. So he says that David says, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king charged all the commanders concerning Absalom. So everybody is aware and everybody knows what should have happened. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, read on. Verse 6, quickly. Verse 6. Then the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. Verse 7. The people of Israel were defeated there before the servants of David, and the slaughter there that day was great, 20,000 men. Verse 8. For the battle there was spread over the whole countryside, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Verse 9. Now Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. For Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak. And his head caught fast in the oak, so he was left hanging between heaven and earth. What a place to be. Hanging between heaven and earth. While the mule that was under him kept going. Do you see? Then, when a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak." Then Joab said to the man who told him, "Now behold, you saw him?" Then he says, "Why then did you not strike him there to the ground?" Can you see the thing coming again? Do you see why the Bible said all the people heard it? When the king said nobody should kill Absalom, all the people heard it. And everybody heard the king tell his commanders. Joab was one of them. Now, when somebody has come to say that I saw Absalom hanging, it should tell you right there that person had the first opportunity to kill Absalom. But something stopped him because he was there when he heard the king say, deal gently with the boy. Nobody should kill him. Do you understand? And so, much against maybe what he, even his natural inclination and what he felt like doing, he still thought that, you know, this is what the king said. That's what we must do. But not so with Joab. Joab knows what the king has said, but he always has a different mind. Do you get it? And the mind that he has is what he will execute. So he says to the guy that, why then did you not strike him there to the ground? And I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a belt. You see, disobey the king for a belt from Kenneth Cole or Gucci or what? Calvin Klein. Or Brother Shagan. It's another label. It's yet to be introduced. It's coming. Can you see that? But look at what the man said, verse 12. The man said to Joab, "Look, even if I should receive 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, even if I had it, do you understand? I would not put out my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, protect for me the young man Absalom." So you see, not all people are the same in the same church. There are some, you know, who take more seriously the directives, the instructions, the things that are coming from the church. You see, the guy said that even if I should receive 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not put forth my hand against the king's son. And this is my reason. Not because he's not a bad boy. Do you understand? He said, "I agree with you. He's a bad boy. I agree with you. What he did is wrong. I agree with you, whatever reason you have. But I just want you to know that the value of the king's instruction to me is so high that no matter how much you pay me." Do you understand? Joab obviously was not. Joab thought that kill Absalom is worth. Give me the previous verse quickly. Verse 11. Joab said, "I would have given you what? 10 pieces of silver." 10 pieces of silver for a life. It probably means 10 pieces of silver must have been a lot. Do you understand? That it's your reward. Because, of course, if I tell you that, for giving me the phone number, brother, what's your name right here? Pius, how are you? Pius, if I tell you, for giving me the phone number of Pius, here's $1 for you. See, even the people are laughing at you. I don't know who they're laughing at, me or you, but I think it's you. Do you understand? Because you feel like $1 is nothing. But I think that if I said, "Oh, here is $100 for giving me the phone number, Pius's phone number," I think that one, see, they are not laughing. It means that one is substantial. It's like a real reward. Do you understand? Now, this guy is saying that if you were to multiply that amount by 100, if you were to have given me 100 times what you are even promising, I would still not do it. Do you get it? Anything that is good for you, if it is multiplied 100 times, it will make you rich. Is it not true? Yes. If it is good, anything that is good, if you get 100 of that thing, usually it will make you rich. So he's saying that if you were to give me 100 of that, I would still not do it. 1,000 pieces of silver, I would not do it. Because I was there. I'm not disputing the fact that the guy has done something. But the thing is that our king, our leader, our pastor, our shepherd, our choir director, our leader of the technical team, we were there when we heard the person say that do this and do that and do that. And you have come to stand here and you have a totally different agenda. You are doing something else and causing something else to happen in the same church. And you are not even leaving the church. Hallelujah. This is how churches get destroyed. This is how years of building, years of labor. The other day I heard that one pastor was sick. The pastor was sick because all the years of work he had put into his church, some people had crept into the church and had turned the whole thing into something else against him. And now his blood pressure has gone through the roof and he's just so sick. Do you get it? But now we know from this morning, we understand that it is the adversary who wants the work to stop. Do you understand? And he uses tools that people don't easily recognize. And he says, they will not see it. They will not know it. They will not know. You know, there's one version somewhere out there where it says, they will not know what hit them. You have the Message translation on your thing. You know, Shegun, do you have a Message translation? Right? Give it to us. Give it to us. Message translation of the Nehemiah verse we were reading. Hallelujah. We're just closing. We're just closing. But I think that we should just understand this message. And we should learn and be blessed. Hallelujah. We're doing a work for the Lord. And we must not cause it to cease. We must not allow the work that God has given us to do to be destroyed. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to build the house of God, and that work must not be destroyed. Okay? So have you found it? Verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 11. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 11. Okay? Is it coming? It's on the way. Okay. Okay, is it coming? All right. Okay, read it, read it. Lady Pastor Aquila is reading it.
When and you all find this it, you time, can bring it. Our enemies were saying.
Says all this time what?
Our enemies were saying.
Our enemies were saying. What were they saying?
They won't know what hit them.
They won't know what hit them. Aquila said, we will not know what hit us. And then what will happen?
Before they know it, we'll be at their throats.
Before they know it, we'll be at their throats.
Killing them left and right.
Killing them left and right.
That will put a stop to the work.
That will put a stop to the work. They will not know what hit them. Harry, I think that we must all be on guard in this church. Do you understand? We must all be on guard in this church and say that, look, it should never be the case that this thing we are just reading is that our story. That someone is saying, they don't know what happened. Do you understand? Because often that's what people say. Say, oh, the church was working. It was really nice. You know, they had a lady in the place. She was leading the praise and worship, you know, a little, you know, pot belly over there. But she was really good and just doing the praise and worship. But we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. Yeah, because nobody ever knows what happens. Because what happens is not designed to be known. The adversary's intention is not that people will know what will happen. But he says that they will not know what happened. They will not know what hit them.
Before they know it, will be at their throats.
Before they know it, will be at their throats.
Killing them right and left.
Killing them right and left.
That will put a stop to the work.
Spoiling all their things right and left. Spoil the choir. Spoil the children's ministry. Spoil the prayer ministry. Spoil. Take off that Tuesday or what? When do they pray on that prayer line? Tuesday morning. Take that thing off. Take that thing off. Take that prayer thing off. Monday night, bring movies. Let them show them. Let them see the adverts. Red Box, they've reduced the movie by 20 cents. They should all go and take 6 movies. Monday night, they are watching movies up to 2 a.m., 3 a.m. So they go to bed. When they go to bed, we come and fan them like that and sing them lullabies. They should just sleep, 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 sleep. Any reason to sleep, they should just sleep so that prayer time just passes. When it passes, they don't join. So the prayer didn't happen. They'll wake up in the morning with so many different excuses. You know, I overslept. Don't worry about the excuses. The important thing is the effect. The thing did not happen. So take that out. And that Friday meeting, they started having the one that the lady over there, what is her name? They said they call her KK or Magdalene or something like that. They come with those people. She comes with a carload of people to come and sing. You need to take that thing off. Shoot that thing down. Find that Magdalene something to do on Friday nights. Find that Magdalene something to do. Then one demon says, that, you know, but she works 9 to 5, so it's not easy to find her. I was thinking we could put her on schedule to work in the night, but she doesn't work in the night. Yeah. Then another one says, I know what to do. She likes to do her hair. Only Friday, yes. Friday evening, she should go and do it. Let her do her hair. Something. Let her do something. And the devil says, yes, I'd rather choose a beauty in church who comes with a nice hairdo, and they didn't go to the choir practice. I'd rather have that. Hallelujah. They will not know what hits them. They will not know it. But we thank God for the word of God. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. Akwesi, what do you think about what I'm saying? Yeah. So we need to fight all the things that cause the work to cease. All the things that cause the work, including sometimes unnecessary invitations. You see, just because we are in the page, let me just read that one to you and we'll close. You know, see what has come over that man today is not closing the preaching. You know, Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3. It's okay. Let's start from verse 2. 2 and 3, only those two verses and we close. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. It says that some people came to invite him. She's going to ask for this one. You have to give it to me. I'll give you something. I promise. Oh, I hear it was your birthday. I will intensify the prayers today. Shegun, I beg you, give me this verse today. Okay? This one. Give it to me. And I promise, I pray for you with power. Is it coming? It's on the way. From the back to this place is very far. Has he got it? Ha! Okay, clap for Shegun. Everybody clap for him. Right. Now, look at this. It says, then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me. Do you see? No, start from verse 1. Can you easily go to verse 1? Okay. Yes. Now, listen. Now, when it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah, to Geshem, the Arab, and to the rest of our... Listen, it was reported to our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, or that we are building a lighthouse church. They have relocated and they've gone to this new place, and now they have this new vision of involving everybody in the church to build it. When it was reported to our enemies, and that no breach remained in it, although at that time I had not set up the doors in the gates, means the work was still in progress. Okay, verse 2. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, come, let us meet together at Chephirim in the plain of Ono. This is an invitation. Let's go and have a meeting. Let's go and have a drink. Let's meet at Starbucks on Friday night. You see, but they were planning to harm me. So what I'm saying is that you need to be spiritually smart enough to discern and to see even invitations that have the enemy behind it. There's nothing wrong with a meeting. Do you see? But this fellow, he was able to read very quickly into it. Look at verse 3. So I sent messengers to them saying, look, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Then he said, why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? You see, when you read the Bible, there's sort of amazing things you see in the, you know, this guy was invited to dinner in a meeting at a time that was going to interfere with the work that he was doing. Do you see? And so he sent a message back to them that, look, I'm sorry. I am not that I have anything against meetings. I don't have anything against your outdooring. I don't have it. Because some people outdoor their babies in the middle of the night. Yeah, and as me, I've been a pastor of African immigrants for a long time. And I see the pattern. One day somebody invited me to come and outdoor his baby in the night. He said, I should come. The time, he said, the thing is 10 p.m., but you know, the African people will come around midnight. So, pastor, come at midnight. And it was Saturday night. When I went, I saw all my church members there. So we were there. And now the time, I was just waiting for the time when I would just say my prayer and go. The time was not coming. I stayed there. Then about 2 o'clock or something like that, they called me to come and say the prayer. So me too, by that time, you know, I had had it. So when I stood up, I said, before my prayer, I have to say a few words. So I preached. Yeah, I said that for making me come and sit here up to 2 a.m., I can't just say a prayer over your child and go. So I preached, you know. And then after that, I prayed over the baby. When they finished, the MC came. And then he said, that was a very long prayer. He said, that was a very, very long prayer. You know. But what happened, what I want you to understand is even what happened after, which is worse. On Sunday morning when I went to church, all my church members who were at the place did not come to the church. Do you think they were bad people? I don't think so. Just normal people. They were tired. Because I found out that the baby, whatever, did not finish until 6 a.m. You know, how are you going to go home 6 a.m., sleep, and come to church at 10? It's just not going to happen. So this one baby that had to be dedicated, that I went to go and help to pray for, it cost me the feeding of my sheep one Sunday morning. You see, and that day I decided that, okay, this is the last baby we will dedicate at midnight. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If we are outdooring the baby, you would imagine that we need some sunlight. If it's going to be in the dark, we might as well do it indoors. We don't even need that ceremony. So you need to recognize invitations that come to you that are coming with a mind to cause the work to cease. Even the person who is inviting you may not have that intention. Do you understand? But think in terms not of intention, but in terms of effect. Do you see? Think in terms of what does it do? If I do this, what can I not do because of what I'm doing? Because when you use your energy for this, it's not available for that. When you spend your money on this, it's not available for that. When you spend your time on this, that same time is not available anymore for that. So you need to think maturely, think smartly like a builder. And recognize something that comes to you as a plain old simple invitation, but which is coming to work against the work that you are doing. And he says, look, I'm doing a great work. And when you look at verse 1, you see the work was not finished, but he said, it's a great work. Do you get it? Even though there were no doors on it, he said, it's a great work. Did you see? Look at verse 1, the last line of verse 1. It says that even at that time, although at that time I had not set up the doors in the gates. So it was a work. It was not done. But it's a great work. This work we are doing is a great work. It may not have a fancy choir singing on stalls. And, you know, it may not look like some of the churches you may have attended or seen. Or it may not be on TV or something like that. But it's a work in progress. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is a work in progress. It is a great work. It is a great work. What we are doing is a great work. Yeah, it's a great work. And you need to recognize things that come to distract you and move you away from it. And this man was very good at it. As soon as the invitation came, he was able to read it. We are blessed to read the behind-the-scenes story. That it was the invitation came because a report had been sent to our enemies about the work we are doing. A report had been sent to the demons and the devils that this church, can you believe that hotel church? We used to toss them from hotel to hotel. Right now, since they got this stable place, the church is starting to grow. And a report was sent to them. Immediately, they started coming up with invitations. They said, let us go to eat this. Some people are able to discover places where they sell African food. And they said, let us go. They sell Sunday morning at 10:30. You know, those who come from Ghana, they have something called omuto. Yeah. Omuto with beans and spinach and peanut butter soup. All mixed together with every type of animal in the soup. I mean, zoo soup. You eat that soup, you don't have to go to a zoo ever. Yeah. That's the only place where you see the fish and the bulls. They all come together in one bowl as friends. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And people, you see people following it. They are going over there. You see some people said they have discovered a farm in a certain place where they can kill the goat live. And they can actually harvest the blood also to make some sauce with the blood. But there's no other time to do it except Sunday morning. So you come to church on Sunday morning, you can't see the people. They are standing somewhere waiting for goat meat. To cause the work. He says, but they were planning to harm me. They were planning to harm me. To spoil my work. Shouldn't let goat meat come between you and God. And this great work we are doing. Look, one day when this church has been built and we're going to have weddings in this place. I mean, weddings are a natural byproduct of a growing church. Yeah. Just people just come. And when you see sheep together, do you see what happens? They start to climb one another. Do you get it? That's how it is. When the sheep start to gather, they start to marry one another. That's how it is. And weddings are, there should be. And we're going to have lots of weddings in this church. Yeah. Weddings and baby dedications and different kinds of things. We're going to have couples evenings. Oh, singles mingles. Yeah. Yeah, mingling the singles. Because sometimes singles need to mingle in order to create certain types of... If you don't have singles mingle, you can't have couples night. Because singles mingle produces couples who meet in the night. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. But we are building the great work. And before we get to that place, we need to be focused. I tell you, when I read about this guy, I get so encouraged. He seems to have zeroed in on the work and said, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to fight anything that fights against it. You see, somewhere later, he said, at a point, these people, this same Sanballat and all these people, they were trying to spoil his work. He said, they got the workers to carry swords Everybody had one hand on a sword and the other hand was working. Can you imagine it? The builder, he has one hand on his sword and then the other one hand is putting the brick. You get it? He said, I'm building this thing. Nobody is going to spoil this work. We are going to build this thing. Nobody is going to spoil it. Hallelujah. So learn to fight those things that take you out of the meetings. Amen. Amen. Some things can wait. There are some things, they can't wait. Like Ifo, who is to go into labor, it can't wait. She has to go. She just can't be in church. She has to go. Do you understand? Yeah. And we have sufficient understanding to accept that. Do you understand? But there are some things they can wait. Some things, laundry can wait. It can wait. Doing laundry, you know, killing the goat can wait. You know, buying a farmer's market, it can wait. Farmer's market can wait. Yeah, it can wait. Many cousins can also be visited on Sunday afternoon and not Sunday morning. Do you see what I'm saying? So that we can stay together and build the work. And God is going to prosper it. I said God will prosper it. If we build it, God will prosper it. God will prosper this work. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now bow your heads, everybody. Just bow your heads and let's just close the service quickly. You know, maybe you're here this morning. Somebody may have invited you to church, but you know in your heart that you are not born again. It's my duty as a pastor to give you a chance to have a relationship with God, to give you an opportunity for your sins to be forgiven, to give you an opportunity for your sins to be forgiven, for your sins to be forgiven, so that if you were to die today, you will be able to say that I will go to heaven for sure. Our sins separate us from God according to the Bible. And this is the reason why Jesus died for us. But you need to receive Jesus and apply his blood to your life in order for you to benefit from salvation. So if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus and I'm serious about it. I want to have a real relationship with God from today. Then I want you, while every eye is still closed, every eye be closed, please, while we are praying. I want you just to slip up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Slip up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Slip up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Is there anybody who wants to give your life to Jesus this morning? Okay, thank God we all are saved this morning. Why don't we just thank God? Father, we thank you so much for the salvation of your people in this church. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to build this church and build your work. Everybody just take a minute and just pray for this church. Pray for what God is doing. Pray that you will not be an agent for stopping it all, for causing the work to cease. Pray that you will not be used by the devil to stop the work, to cause, to freeze the work, and to cause the work to be hindered and thwarted. You will not be the one that will be used for that. By holding back, by holding back, by holding back, you will not be the one that will do that. In the name of Jesus, everybody just pray and say, Lord, 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 use me rather to push the work forward. Whatever I can do to help to push the work forward, to push the work forward. Help me, oh God. Help me, oh God. In the name of Jesus. If I have to join something, if I have to encourage someone to join something, if I have to be part, if I have to come more regularly, perhaps if I have to find my own way here instead of relying on another person for a ride, if that's what I have to do, Lord, then I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it because this is a great work and it must not cease, it must not brought to a stop in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for this afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching and teaching of your word. I pray that your word will have its course, free course in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit massage it into our spirits and let it change us. Let it cause us to rise up and move forward and march forward with strength in this great work that you have given us to do. We're privileged, Lord, and we're grateful to you for such an opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you high five your neighbor and say, whoa, that was long. Tell your neighbor, that was long but powerful. And ask your neighbor, did you learn anything by the way? What did they say? Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the thing I'm sharing with you is important? Do you think it's relevant? Gene, do you think it's a useful thing to hear in a church? It is. My brother, what about you? You think it's powerful? It's a real thing. What about you, brother? Yeah, this is a very powerful, very important message. Kwesi, what do you think? It's a good message to preach in a church, isn't it? Yeah. And you see, it will keep the church together. Sandra, don't you think so? It will keep the church together. And God will bless this work. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's receive our tithe and offering right now. Take out your tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Take an envelope for your tithe and also for our missions offering, okay? We want to receive an offering for our missionaries. Receive an offering for our missionaries. Hallelujah. Now, sometime in the month of November, we're going to have once again a special Healing Jesus Sunday. Hallelujah. Yeah. We are the church that has been blessed with a great privilege of having and hosting such a big crusade around the world and especially across Africa, you know, and especially because most of us here come from Africa, we have to be interested in the salvation of Africa. Did you hear about what happened in Kenya yesterday? You heard about it? Yeah, you get it. And if somebody is going out there to preach the gospel, we must support the person. What do you think? We must support the person, yeah, to bring the gospel. The Islam is trying to take over some of those places. Do you see? Yeah, because poverty makes people vulnerable. Do you see? Poverty makes people vulnerable. So, say, come to my mosque and I'll give you whatever you need. And then they start to share the thing and then it's growing. But we need to fight with the gospel. Do you see? We need to also preach the gospel. And you and I must sacrifice and support that. So we're going to do it in November. So remember that. Amen. Then the other thing I want you to remember is we're going to have our one day only non-residential camp with Bishop Eddie in this very hall right here. Okay. Yeah. That will be an important day for you to tell all those who invite you that why should I come to you while the work ceases? Okay, because it's going to be an important day. We'll come here in the morning, we'll have lunch in the afternoon, and we'll continue to the evening. It's going to be on a Thursday. I think it's the 24th of October, October 24th. So please start campaigning for who is going to work for you. Start being nice to your boss. Smile a little more extra. He won't know what you're doing. Okay, he won't know what hit him. Do you see? He will not know what hit him. So October 24th. It's a Thursday, right? So we'll come here from the morning to the evening. So where's Pastor Munene? Pastor Munene, speak to Steve about it so that we secure the place, okay? Yeah, it's already done. Okay, powerful. So we're blessed, amen. If you have your tithe, please come forward and let's pray for all of you who have your tithe. Please come forward and let's pray. Your tithe and paying your tithe regularly is one of the ways that you help to build the work. Because one of the ways that the work ceases is because they can no longer afford to rent the hall. They come forward, come forward, come closer. They can no longer afford it. That causes the work to cease. So the church cannot meet there anymore because money is finished. So your tithe is a very important aspect of church building. And I want you to lift your tithe up before the Lord. Just lift it up before the Lord. And let's pray. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the lives of these hands that stand up and have gone up before you. They hold in their hands, some have given online, but they all come before you with a piece of their lives, which you have set aside and said it's holy and it belongs to you. Father, they have respected the holy thing and they have removed it from among their stuff. And they come to you, cheerfully to offer it to you for the building and for the work of your house. I pray, Lord, that if you are happy with such people, then smile upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Smile upon each of them, each of their lives in the name of Jesus. You know them by face and by name. You know them. The Bible says you count even their hairs. You know the issues in each of their lives. You know the challenges in each of their lives. I pray, oh God, that you will be merciful unto them and help them and bless them. Even things they don't deserve, oh God. The Bible says that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that has been withheld by closed windows. I pray that this giving of tithe will unlock those windows and cause the blessing not to be held back, but the blessing to be released and poured upon their lives. In the name of Jesus, bless them, bless them, bless each one. Bless each one, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every one of them, oh God. We mention by name, oh God, Kwesi, oh God, Clementina. We pray, oh God, for Lady Pastor Akwele, for Shegun, for Sheila. Oh God, for Chloe. We pray for Miriam, for Akweta, and for Akwesi. In the name of Jesus, let each one of these stand under an open heaven today. In the name of Jesus, let something fall from the windows of heaven upon their lives today. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Don't leave in a hurry. God bless you. Akwesi, may the windows of heaven be open unto you. Akwete, may God cause you to come into some new things. In Jesus' name. Miriam, may God bless you and keep you. May he give you good health in the name of Jesus. Chloe, may the Lord prolong your life in Jesus' name. Yes. Sheila, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. Shegun, may all the prophecies I've been prophesying concerning your life come to pass in the name of Jesus. Elpak, may your husband love you from the back. Amen. May your husband, you see, he's already smiling. The blessing has hit him already. Kwesi, may God bring, you know what we've been talking about. May God bring that breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Take out your missions offering. Let's remember our missionaries this morning. So if you have your second offering or you were not here, some of you have habitually come to church after the first offering just to dodge it, you see. But you must not dodge the first offering. So we have a second offering to give you a chance. Hallelujah. So if you did not participate in the first offering, or you did, but you want to give again to help God's work, please Here is your opportunity. Take that out and let's pray. So I'm praying for people who are supporting missions, people who are giving a second time this morning, people who were not here for the first time. All of you, every kind of offering that you're going to give right now, put it in this basket as it comes around. So lift up your offering. Let me pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bless your people as they give. In Jesus' name, bless them, keep them. In the name of Jesus, you know their lives, Father. You know their means. You know the circumstances out of which your people are giving this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus, you have enabled them and worked on their hearts to give in spite of what is going on in their lives. I pray, Lord, that you will complete the work. Complete the work. The Bible says you are able to make all grace abound towards us, that we'll have all sufficiency in all things. We will have sufficiency in all things. We'll have enough to cover all bases in our lives. In the name of Jesus, bless them as they give. Release angels to give back into their lives. Bless them. Lift them up from accidents. Lift them up from situations that have been set up by the enemy. Deliver them from evil in the name of Jesus. Let protect their going out and their coming in. May they not be at the wrong place at the wrong time. In the name of Jesus, may they not step into places where the enemy has set traps for their lives. Deliver them somehow, mysteriously remove them from such places. In the name of Jesus, and let your blessing cover them in this church and bless them, Lord. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.